morning. Today is Tuesday, March the 20th. Joining us this morning, Humboldt Community Services District Executive Director Dave Hull. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Happy first day of spring. That's what I wore this tie for.
Oh, I thought it was a restaurant accident.
Yeah, it does kind of look like that.
Yeah.
A tiki bar accident.
I bet you could find one that's open. Oh, boy. Happy spring, everybody. Boy, you bring in a folder full of stuff, and then there's a pile full of stuff, and then you got your notepad full of stuff. You didn't really prepare for this thing, did you?
No.
Oh, good.
I do, though, is I bring my this pile of stuff is my folder of everything I've ever talked about with you so that I don't repeat myself.
No, it isn't.
Well, okay, it's not everything.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Good. Oh, boy. So what's percolating?
I thought we'd wrap up our Indianola and Redmond Road, the annexation to water service.
Has it come
extension.
To a conclusion?
Well, that's what I want to talk about. Yes,
it has.
Well,
let's do so, sir. The community told you.
All right. So just for quick background, refresh everybody's memory.
Refresh.
Refresh. Get it?
Yeah. Percolate and refresh. You got two in there already.
And it's only the first segment. Yeah,
that's right. It's kind of drip, drip, drip.
It'll be that way the whole time. Yeah.
On so many levels.
Back over the last couple of decades, people have come to Humboldt Community Services District and said, hey, my wells aren't so good. They're either getting contaminated or the volume in the summertime has really dropped off. I don't have any fire service. There's been a whole bunch of different reasons people have come to the district and asked for water service out in the Indianola area. The Indianola is, of course, outside the district's boundary. And so we started a process a couple of years ago to start down that path of annexation that would lead to providing water service out there. The first step in the annexation, of course, is getting a sphere of influence boundary around that. That allows us to work essentially outside of our actual boundary. But within the sphere and spend some money on doing studies and things like that. It's sort of the precursor to an annexation would be expanding the sphere. So in 2015, we did that. Our board said, well, you know, this has been an on-again, off-again proposition for several years. There had been some regulatory constraints that had precluded us from doing it 20 years ago, and those had gone away a few years ago. So we have now the ability to do that. But the board said, well, let's find out if the people out there still are interested in getting water service extended out there. So that brings us pretty much up to date. So to test the interest of the folks out there, the district sent out a survey letter in October. They got those survey results back. There was a bunch of public input and said, well, you know, it'd be nice if there was a little more information about this or that. So we actually decided to do a second survey that went out in January. It was due February 28th. And so on March 13th, the board of directors considered the results that we got from that survey and made a decision.
So last Tuesday, I didn't hear there were a lot of protests out on Walnut.
No.
That there wasn't a big crowd out on Walnut.
No.
So everybody either felt comfortable with what they had shared or figured it was fait accompli.
Well, I think so. I think after two surveys, everybody that was going to weigh in had weighed in, and so it was up to the board then to decide, is this enough input? Do we have enough to feel like we're confident either moving forward or not?
So before the big drum roll.
Yeah. Yes.
Was there a distinction between the responses in the two different outreaches?
Not so much on Indianola. I'll talk about Redmond Road Water Service Extension. There was on that one. Indianola was
consistent?
Yeah, kind of consistent. It was closer to being consistent. So.
But Redmond was...
Redmond had flipped completely. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was interesting. Yeah.
Okay. Which you could have one or two lead spokespeople.
Yeah.
persuading.
It was.
Or it's just a different neighborhood.
It was fun. It was a different neighborhood, and it was good. So for Indianola, kind of by the numbers real quick, that we sent out 342 surveys. Those went to the landowners out there. We got 166 of them back. So we got a 48% return, which is pretty good.
That's studly.
Yeah, well, for a survey, it's great.
Yeah.
But for something where the district's going to, dip its toe and spend, thousands and thousands of dollars on something, the board had to consider that. The yeses, yes, I'm interested in annexation and headed toward a water service extension. Those were 81. The noes were 85. So it was about 50-50, a tad leaning toward the no side. So the district, like I said, on last Tuesday, they considered the information, and they decided that wasn't an overwhelming amount, and it wasn't really all that different from the first survey. So they decided to terminate moving ahead with the Indianola annexation and water service extension. But they wanted to send a letter out again to all the residents out there, all the landowners out there, saying that, thanking them for their participation in the study, but also saying that, the district's ready, willing, and able to consider serving them if the neighborhoods ever, get organized and make a petition to come to the district.
That's a much nicer way than I would have said it. But, hey, you probably wouldn't want to put that in writing.
Yeah.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbara Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long, on 980 AM. We are easy radio. Easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music. Easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Dave Hull. Dave, you'd said in the opening segment that there were two regions, I guess, or neighborhoods. You had the Indianola traditional, and then you had also mentioned Redmond Road as being a separate, and it's a pretty significant separate.
I mean, right.
The road's pretty big. There are a lot of folks that are out there.
Yeah, yep.
It has its historicals also. Did that have consistency also, or was there?
Some background for that one. So Indianola was an annexation because it's outside the district and for a water service extension. The Redmond Road area is actually already in the district. It got put in the district back when we annexed the freshwater area back in the early 1990s. But at that time, the residents of Redmond Road area said they didn't want water service. So our thought was, well, if we're going to be looking at...
How can you be in a water district and not get the water?
It was a part of the assessment district issue that went on.
So they're being assessed?
No.
They just didn't...
Nope.
Oh.
Nope.
Okay.
It went out and it got negotiated out, but they're still technically in the district boundary.
So you didn't have to do the sphere of influence.
So there wasn't a sphere of influence. We're not doing any annexation because they're already in the boundary. So all this would be was a water service extension. And so we did a similar survey to the folks in the Redmond Road area, but rather than saying, would you like to be annexed for water service, this was just a water service extension. Hadn't tested this since the early 2000s, and so again, we felt since we were doing Indianola, we might as well ask them also, because we get calls periodically from people on Redmond Road also saying the same sort of thing. Wells are going bad, the flow's not so good, things like that. So we put out interest surveys to them on the same schedule that we did the Indianola one, and the results that we reported out last Tuesday were we sent out 83 surveys to the Redmond Road area. We got 42 of them back, so we got a little over 50% of the returns back. Of those 42, 16 of them said yes, we'd be interested, and 26 said they weren't. So it had flipped about. It was the first survey, it was about 2-1 in favor, and now it's about, this last survey was about 2-1 opposed to it. So we the board similarly looked at this results and said, we're going to go ahead and terminate, you know, considering extended water service out to Redmond Road at this time, but made the same offer that if the neighborhood ever, you know, desires to have water service, to if they get themselves organized and get a majority of folks to petition the district, then we could reopen it and look at it again.
But it's not going to come out of the district office.
Correct.
It's going to be more neighborhood asking.
Yeah, and that's something we've talked about the last couple of months, is this has been a little bit backwards process, especially for the annexation, because typically a neighborhood would get themselves together, organize, say, gee, we really like to be a part of some district, because some government agency, because we want some service somewhere, and we want to be annexed. This was backwards, and it was only backwards in the sense that we wanted to, because there'd been a lot of interest over the last 20 years, but there wasn't the ability to do it, and now there was. So it was kind of half educational that now we do have the ability to service these folks, and are you still interested? So from now on, it'll be more the typical process where if the neighborhoods decide they want some services, they'll approach the district.
So why would Freshwater Road say yes, and a little bit down the road, Redmond would say no, and with an aggressive no?
Freshwater, the Freshwater Road area in the back in the day had their own water system. Some of them had wells, of course, especially for some of the ag stuff out there, the little ranches and things. But there was there was a water system out there, and it needed a lot of updating for the state to be able to continue to approve it being a water source. And so there was a lot of tipping point toward, well, let's just get the district out there. Redmond Road didn't quite have those same issues. Everybody has their own wells. And apparently it was going along just fine. So,
but with all the talk about groundwater contamination, rising sea level, salinity, okay, the fertilizer stuff in the water leaching down, and da 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 da, I would think that there would be, if not concern today, recognition today that maybe tomorrow it would be needed, and this isn't a turn the switch on kind
You're right.
of process.
No.
Am I missing something?
No, it's about a five-year thing. Well,
did they bring some other perspective?
Well, interestingly, one of the things that happened over the last, 10 years or so, is the city of Eureka's transmission line, their main water line that comes from the Mad River, comes from Humboldt Bay Municipal Water District, goes right through that area, right through the Indianola area to get into town here. Because of health and safety issues, some of those wells you're talking about that were very contaminated, the local agency formation commissioner, LAFCO, allowed those people to hook up to the city's water line. And so,
as a singleton,
and there's been over time, over the last 10, 15 years, there's been several of those. So it's actually kind of turned it into, you know, we've a lot of the folks that were the big driver to get a water system out there now have water from the city.
Always makes sense when you hear the story. It's 8:30.
As a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit DecadeOfDifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Dave Hull. Talk Shop presented by Redeck, CDH Painting, American Ag Credit, and by Lolita Cheese Factory. Dave, considering some of the different challenges that are out there, we hear the governor is ramping this up, and he's ramping that up. What about water standards? You know, we've heard in the past about the drought and the declarations and some of the consumption side of things. But what about the standards themselves? What is safe drinking water? What isn't drinking water? I know the municipal water district is concerned with the development that is out by Blue Lake proposed.
Right.
What about at your end? Are you seeing some of that stuff happen too, where you need either finer filters or different treatment processes now or proposed down the road?
Well, let's see. The quick answer is, right now, over the last 30 years, there's been some tightening down in a long list of water quality constituents we have to measure every year. You get the thing in the mail, or you see it on the on your bill that says go see this website that has all the reporting. That's a state law. That's the Consumer Confidence Report is what they call that. It lists all these water quality constituents that you have in there and that we're required to test, and it also has a list of what the limits are, both for safety and what the regulatory limit is, which sometimes they're different, and a bunch of other information about that sort of thing. What we've seen, to answer your question, with that as background,
I knew you were getting there.
With that as a background, what we've seen the last few years is, every year there's some new water quality constituent that's usually related to some old industrial process that we are now required to go monitor this. This year is...
So that's a site, or that's
no,
just
it's
a chemical?
No, it's a chemical that's okay. In the water. This year, the chemical du jour is something called 2,3,4-trichloropropane, and it was used... It was used as a fumigant. It was used as in some wood preservative kind of things like this. A chemical company had gotten in trouble because they were trying to get rid of this stuff, and so they added it to some other safer chemicals to kind of get rid of it. They got in trouble for that, and
so it didn't make it neutral.
Didn't make it neutral. So we have to go look for these kind of things. It's not something that would be around here, but we got to go test for it anyway. It's more something you would see probably in the Sacramento or San Joaquin Valley and some of the wells is what they're really targeting. And so, but everybody's got to go test for it. Another one that came out probably 2 years ago is lead testing in schools. Now, you would think schools would test or would have, going clear back to ancient Field Act stuff or whatever, they would not have pipes that would produce lead in the drinking water, but apparently some of them do. So a couple of years ago, there was a notice that went to all the school districts in the state, said, if you want to test this, go to your local water supplier and ask them to test it for you. And a set of protocols with how to test that. Last year, it changed to, you will go get this stuff tested, and you're going to talk to your local water supplier and make them pay for it. So we on that first wave, we worked with some of the schools. We still have a few in our district to go, and so we're communicating with them. But I think it goes to your point of every year there's some more of these kind of things, and we've continually gone from parts per million to parts per billion to even yeah. beyond. Yes, yeah. As we know more and more about the effects of some of these chemicals,
there's a television campaign for one of these water filter things, or you buy a kind of water, and they say, oh, this only has X number of parts per, I mean, you're familiar with it.
Yeah.
Is that accurate, or is that just feeding on people's perceptions?
Well, it's both. It's good marketing. There is, of course, and again, back to this report you get, the consumer confidence report. It shows that their water has, you know, minerals and all kinds of stuff in it. If you
even pure water,
the water we have is good stuff. But if you, and so what we tell the people is it's great stuff. But if you have some physical thing where you need to have, very pure water, then you should use a water filter. Usually those are under doctor's recommendations or whatever. Or if you just don't like the taste of chlorine or something else that's in there, then get one of these filters and use it.
Do they work?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Really? KINS, News and Information Times, 841. We'll be back with more.
The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission and Fly Humboldt remind you that flying local is buying local and supports local jobs and investment. Fly Humboldt is a community-based coalition of businesses, organizations, and citizens dedicated to getting more flights to more destinations. We know that reliable and affordable air service is a critical part of a healthy community. For more information, visit flyhumboldt.org or find us on Facebook.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:46. We're back talking shop this morning with Dave Hull from the Humboldt Community Services District. Dave, why does water taste different? I mean, you know, I know some of us are food snobs, water snobs. Okay, fine. But there's some waters that there's just no way. I couldn't choke it down.
Yeah.
And those folks are more than comfortable with it in those areas of the country. Ours always seems to taste, I guess, refreshing would be the term. Is it you just get accustomed to where you are, or are there differences in the waters?
I think they call it mouthfulness is the term of art for that.
Oh, really?
There was a story that goes with that. But
I hope so.
I think the answer to your question is generally it's the dissolved minerals that make the flavor in there. Of course, chlorine is chlorine. We know where that comes from and what that is. But the minerals, depending on the balance of that, the pH of it, and how that affects the minerals, can impart the different kind of tastes to it. Now, if you have an area that has a lot of iron and manganese and things like that in it, you probably have a water softener, but if you don't, it's going to be very obvious that it tastes like metal a little bit when you have it. These are the kind of things that these filters work for, or the water softeners, of course, do, but they can impart a little salt taste. So you get a little bit of that that going too. So, but it's really starting with the good quality water, which is what we have here.
Now, everybody had that at one point.
Well, I don't know if that's exactly true. You know, it depends where the rain falls and what minerals it dissolves. You know, what kind of rocks, what's in the dirt, what's whatever that ends up in the stream, that ends up, you know, in a place where you pump it out, or where the well grabs it, whatever that strata is that's down below ground that it's dissolved through to get to you. So I think, yeah, when it came out of the sky, it was about all the same. But
dangerously familiar with the Mississippi, the Arkansas rivers, they never clear.
Right.
There's always an awful lot of turbidity, I know is the proper phrase, but let's say just mud.
Yeah. Suspended solids.
Regular guy.
Yeah.
So they pull out, and they must pull out of a
Or they can take it out of the surface water, out of the river itself, but it requires a lot of treatment to it. So there's filtering, there's disinfection, there's a lot of things that go on with treating a surface water supply. That's why people generally like groundwater, because the ground has actually been the filter. So generally, from a dissolved solid standpoint, it's pretty clear.
And that's the distinction why they recommend don't drink out of the creeks and the rivers here, because a lot of the nitrogen that's used in the pot farms is now into the water at the surface level and doesn't go through that filtration process?
Well, kind of. I think that's part of it. I think a bigger part of not drinking out of a surface water stream is because of the bacteria and the little crawlies that live in those surface water supplies as a natural ecosystem.
But 40 years ago...
They were still there.
They were there, and nobody got sick.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know what creek you were drinking from, but the ones I was, it was never a big deal. You know, you didn't have dysentery. You didn't have some of these other things as a concern.
I don't think there's
more bears in
and
the woods.
And people died
either.
From it, too.
Yeah. Did they?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
You just didn't.
Well, a population density thing, right? There wasn't that many people, so there wasn't that many that were exposed to stuff. But yeah, it was pretty devastating those that were.
Whoa. And it always will be. Thanks for coming by.
See you, Brian.
All right. See everybody tomorrow.